So there's deeming, which happens when you're under age 18 or when you're married and on SSI and over age 18. And this may not seem like an issue that really, why do we need to deal with this? We have clients we're setting up special needs trusts for. They're not going to get married. They might. They really might. So it's important to know whose income is deemed. Social Security says there's three groups of folks who have a legal responsibility to take care of the other party, and that is a parent to a minor child, that's someone under the age of 18, their 18th birthday, spouse to spouse, or sponsor to immigrant, okay? You do get Medicaid, as you know, and you get it automatically here in Texas. We're what's called a 1634 Social Security state, which means that when Social Security determines eligibility for supplemental security income, you automatically get Medicaid. You don't have to apply for it. And Medicaid, as you know, is a state-federal partnership with the Health and Human Services Commission, and Health and Human Services Commission runs Medicaid, not Social Security. So never send a family member or a client to Social Security to ask about Medicaid, because they don't know, but they might answer, but they don't know. So don't send them there. They need to go to HHSC. This is the biggest, I think, myth about supplemental security income, is that if you lose that cash benefit, you lose that Medicaid. And boy, is that not true, and I'll get to that. So here's the SSI formula. If you've never seen it, this is what it looks like. It's a math formula. This is how they figure it out. We always say there's a gnome in the basement of the Social Security building in Baltimore with a pencil figuring out people's SSI every month. But it starts out with your unearned income, because any unearned income counts against you. Everybody gets what they call a general income exclusion of $20. You can use it if you have any unearned income in this section, or you don't have to use it, obviously. You can use it in the next section. And then you get your total countable unearned income for Social Security's purpose. The next section is your earned income. So you start out with your gross earned income. You have work incentives. The first one is a student earned income exclusion, which I'll talk about. If you haven't used that general income exclusion in the unearned section, you use it down here. And then there is the impairment-related work expense, another work incentive. And you take all that away, you divide the remainder by two, and you get your total countable earned income. And then you add your countable earned and unearned income together, and then you take it away from the base SSI rate for that year. And it doesn't matter if the person gets $1 in SSI. In this formula, you either put 771, 514, or 1157 at the bottom. And then you get their adjusted cash benefit. And this is how this works. And you can see I use substantial gainful activity, because you will have people on supplemental security income in about 2 years saying, I can't make over $1,220, because that's SGA for this year. And it takes about 2 years for people to start saying that myth about their SSI. And so when they say that, you could just show them this and say, not true. Look, you get an adjusted cash benefit of $203.50. You're going to work and you're earning $1,220, and you're getting a cash bonus as well. You might be working right next to somebody who has the same disability you do, who doesn't have supplemental security income. The difference is they make $1,220. You make $1,220, but you have free health insurance, right? And you get a cash bonus at the end of the month. That's a pretty big benefit. There's something called the break-even point. That is the point at which your earnings cause your supplemental security income cash benefit to go to $0 a month, okay? And this year, with no other deductions, your break-even point is $1,627. If you earn that much, your cash and you get $771, your SSI cash benefit will go to $0 a month. But it doesn't matter, and I'm going to show why it doesn't matter. And to figure out your break-even point, because everybody's break-even point can be different, you just flip that formula I just showed you on your head. You have minus 20, minus 65, and divide by 2. To get this, you multiply times 2 and add 85, and you're going to get the break-even point. I know, isn't this easy? This is like, isn't this like law school a little bit? like, ugh. Okay, here are the work incentive programs attached to supplemental security income. There's the student earned income exclusion, the impairment-related work expense, the blind work expense, the plan to achieve self-support, 1619B state threshold, 1619B individualized threshold, and Texas's Medicaid buy-in, which I have in parentheses because it's not attached really to supplemental security income, but it is a huge benefit for many people who go to work, who did get SSI and earn off SSI. The student earned income exclusion is, both Nitra and I think this is like the most important benefit possible because there was a report from Social Security about 4 years ago that said we are in the third generation of families who use supplemental security income as their only source of income. The third generation, folks. By the time you get to the third generation, you've got grandma, mom, and kiddo, right? Kiddo is no longer thinking, how do I get out of this? Because it's just the way people live. But it's not, and people don't have to live this way. And when families who depend on supplemental security income as their only source of income know and have a child who would qualify for the student earned income exclusion, know about it, if you tell them about it or you send them to someone who tells them about the student earned income exclusion, it'll make your head spin how fast they kick that kiddo out the door to get a job. It really will, because they're going to make money and they're going to be able to retain their SSI.